Hello, hello. Welcome back.
Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us for some therapy.
With a twist. Welcome to Monday.
It's Monday. Oh, God.
I feel like recording on a Monday, this is the highlight of my day.
Is it?
It is, because waking up is very difficult on a Monday.
Yeah, I didn't want to wake up this morning.
I didn't either. I had a cat on either side of me, and I think Charlie was on the floor somewhere. So I had all three cats in there with me. It was beautiful.
I had nothing or nobody in my bed, and it was amazing. That's how I like it.
That's how, yes. I like the cats. I can accept them.
I'll accept them sometimes, but sometimes it's just so nice to just sprawl out.
It's nice. I enjoy it. All right, so we did watch The Descendants.
We did watch that last night.
We did. I might have fallen asleep during the middle of
did
it.
Did you?
I thought so,
but I didn't know.
I fell asleep. I was into it, and then it was right when they were going to meet the wife's boyfriend, the guy she was cheating with.
Mm-hmm.
I was out. And then I woke up when he was announcing to everyone at the party that they were going to pull the plug. And the boyfriend's wife showed up, and I was like, I don't know who this bitch is.
Literally.
Because I was asleep.
Okay, so the part that you missed was, like, they showed up at the house, you know, and then the husband, George Clooney, was like, give me a tour of your house, like, and then he was basically like, I know you were with my wife. Like, did you love her? And the guy was like, no. And he asked him some other, he was just like asking questions basically. And he's like, had you ever been in my bedroom? And George Clooney was like, one time. Or not George Clooney.
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah. Was like, only one time. And George Clooney was like, you could have lied about that. And he was like, well, maybe it was two.
Oh, maybe I did
lie. And so
lie.
Then George Clooney walked out and kissed Matt's wife, the redhead. And, like, just kissed her on the lips, and then they walked off. And so when she came to the hospital, he had, like, kissed her. But her husband, he also was like, you need to come say goodbye to my wife. And the guy was like, I don't love your wife. Like, it was just an affair. Like, but the wife was going to leave him because the wife thought that they were in love, but he wasn't in love, and he was married. And so, yeah, when the wife showed up, she was like, somebody from my family needed to show up.
I did see that part.
And he was like, well, if it makes you feel better, your husband didn't love my wife. And she was like, I know, that's why I came, so.
And that's so disappointing. Like, you know that you're going to be the villain in someone else's story, and you're going to hook up with a married person, and you're not even going to care.
I think cheaters are just the scum of the earth and the most insecure people. I hate cheaters.
I feel like, and I think that the person in the relationship that cheats is the one that is at fault, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and I think that it has everything to do with them and not the person they're cheating on.
100%. Because you just, like, some of the sweetest, nice, most perfect people will get cheated on, and it has nothing to do with them. It's just that they, unfortunately, were in a relationship with a really insecure, disgusting human being. And that's not a reflection on the person who got cheated on at all.
No, and it doesn't even matter. Beyonce got cheated on. Like, yeah. You can be...
Like, I'm sorry, because, yeah, famous. Because Jay-Z looks the way he does. Like, you are an ugly motherfucker.
And you cheated on
the queen. And you cheated on Beyonce because you are a horrible person. Like...
Yeah. You... No. The movie was good. I have never been cheated on that I know of. I would assume I never have. So it didn't feel as emotional as I thought it would.
Yeah, it was good. Like, my thing was, like, I thought it was really sweet about how, like, you know, the, like, point of the movie is that his wife is in a coma, and they find out that they have to pull the plug. She's not going to make it. But the whole time, well, not the whole time, but, like, basically she was cheating on him and she was going to leave him. And so he finds out that his dying wife was cheating on him.
Because of his daughter.
Yeah, because his daughter caught the mom cheating. And so she, like, hated the mom or whatever. Whenever she found out she was in a coma, she was like, I think she literally said, fuck mom. And then she found out she was dying, and she was like, how are, like, she was asking the actress, like, how are you not angry? Well, he didn't even know. He didn't suspect anything because he was absent, I guess, is what they were trying to really push the movie, is that it was his fault because he wasn't around enough, and that's why the mom cheated. But
you cheat because you want to cheat.
Words are a thing. If you're gonna cheat on somebody, just be like, hey,
I'm not getting what I need. Yeah, and if you're communicating that to someone you're in a relationship with, if you're saying, hey, I'm not getting what I needed, then leave that person before it gets to that point.
But because, you know,
what's the point in staying?
If you're a cheater, then you're insecure, but you're also a coward. So you're never going to have that conversation. So if you've ever been cheated on,
it's not your fault.
They were a really, no matter how much you love them, they were so insecure. Like, that's why people cheat, is because they have to have validation from all the people around them all the time.
And you can be amazing, and you can be validating them the entire time.
It's their brain. If they hate themselves so much, you can tell them 100 billion times a day that they're the most perfect thing in the world, and they still will hate themselves, and they'll still cheat, because it's about their self.
Yeah, it's about love.
Yeah, but no, but the movie, yeah, he finds out that his wife was cheating, and he, like, kept his anger in. Like, even when he found out, he invited the mistress man. I don't know what it's called. The mistress man is.
The adulterer.
Yeah. Like, he went to his house and he was like, still come say goodbye to my wife. And he even told his daughter, he was like, I'm going to be angry later. He's like, but right now, he was like, we all, like, need to say our goodbyes. He's like, so I'll be angry later. So I thought that was, like, sweet. Like, they kind of just showed the emotional roller coaster he was on, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
well, it was a drama for sure, and I'm not really huge on dramas, but it was good. Yeah.
And I think the hardest part was because he realized that while she was on her deathbed, basically, that
he wanted to be there.
He wanted to change everything that he had done previously. This was before he found out that she was cheating,
because he knew he had been absent.
Like, yeah, he knew he wasn't the greatest.
Yeah. And so he was like, I just want you to wake up, like, you have my full attention, like, we're gonna make this work when you wake up.
And he was willing to quit his job and buy her a boat, and
then so he had this big realization, and then they told him that she wasn't going to make it, and then that's when he found out she was cheating.
Yeah,
the roller coaster, but
it's definitely a distraction. Don't let me falling asleep during the middle of it deter you from watching it. I was very tired last night, and I got real cozy on the couch. So
it was a cozy little movie night.
It was. We also watched a little bit of a documentary yesterday. We started about David Beckham. Let me tell you, this man, I have a huge crush, and I knew now, like, looking at him in interviews now, I knew he was gorgeous, and I had no doubt, but watching him at the beginning of it, he had longer hair, and I didn't think he was as cute. I didn't think he was as cute in the early 90s with the long hair. For some reason, not my vibe. The second this man shaved his head and got a little bit of facial hair...
Oh, and the earrings?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Feral happened.
I think I actually screamed. Like,
yes. I was like, who is this man on the TV now? Where did he come from?
Because that's my thing. Is I knew who David Beckham was. Like, I heard his name, but I never really... I knew more of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Beckham, because he's my age. And so I didn't really know anything of David Beckham. I knew he was attractive, but I didn't realize how good his personality was.
Oh my God, he's amazing.
He's such a sweetheart. And Victoria
is too.
Victoria, yeah.
I was not expecting that from her, just because of the way that she's portrayed. She seems very snobbish and unapproachable. She was so down to earth on this documentary, and it didn't sound like she was trying to, like,
she just wanted to be a good mom. She wanted to pursue her career, and
she wanted to take care of her man,
and she went to take care of her man. Oh my God.
Oh, she protected that man.
She said, I want to kill them all. And I said,
yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, this woman, she is definitely a ride or die.
And they're just the sexiest couple.
Oh, like, my God.
David Beckham.
They've both gotten so much better with age. Like, they were still attractive younger, but oh my gosh, they are aging beautifully.
Yeah, David Beckham, I think, just deserves to be the sexiest man alive.
I think he does.
Has he been a couple times?
I don't know. I need to look to see if he has. But I think my favorite part is at the very beginning,
He's taking care of his bees because they have bees, honeybees. Oh. And he was talking about what he wanted to name it. And he said Victoria said it should be called DB's Sticky Stuff.
I lost it. I was like, Victoria?
Oh,
who are you? And I was like, I could be your friend. I feel like you could vibe really well.
And
with
then she like she was calling him a whole episode is called Golden Balls because she said that she called him Golden Balls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying
she is a sassy little thing.
What she's doing, I love her.
Yeah, love she loves her man, and I love that.
Yeah, but now I need to see every man with a shaved head and
just to see, just to see. I need to see if this is a thing. Because I've seen some men with bald heads, and I'm like, that's no, not a thing for me.
No, but he looked incredible.
He can pull it off for sure.
So I had some random thoughts that I added to our notes because I was like, things were just popping up in my head.
I see that. I was like, lack of gravy on food at restaurants?
Okay. So I was having a conversation. We had a food day at work. We did a breakfast food day last week.
Right.
And I made the comment because I was making biscuits and gravy. Mm-hmm. And I made an obscene amount of gravy because I think gravy is a primary, like, source to biscuits and gravy. Like, it's, you should have more gravy than biscuits.
Yeah.
Just because.
You can dip your sausage in it after.
You can eat gravy by itself if you need to.
Hash browns and gravy.
But my conversation with someone at work was, when I go to a restaurant, if I order, like, country fried steak, mm-hmm. they give me the most minuscule amount of gravy, and I'm like, how do you expect me to eat this on my potatoes and my country fried steak? Yes, this is in Arkansas, so we do country fried steak, but yeah. Oh my goodness, the lack of gravy is disappointing. I don't want to have to say, hey, can I get some extra gravy? Just give me a normal amount.
We're in Arkansas, just give me a shit ton of gravy.
Yeah, it's like when you go to a restaurant, you're not like, oh, I just want to, you don't even
cheap
have to,
the sauces.
Yes. But you don't even, like, here, you can go to a restaurant and be like, oh, I want tea, and they know it's going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to specify because they just know.
Yeah. Like, we're in Arkansas. You should know I want a lot of gravy and my tea extra sweet.
Yes. And you should know if I'm getting pizza, I want ranch to dip it in.
Yeah.
That should just be an automatic thing.
Why are you not just doing that?
That should just be automatic. And I don't understand, like, McDonald's, now you have to pay for the extra sauces. And I'm okay with paying for an extra sauce, but make sure it's in my bag. I will be so sad.
I don't even get the sauce to begin with. Why?
Yes.
Like, I'm just telling you I need an extra sauce just so that you at least put one in there.
Yes. Yes. Sauces are a big thing. I'm a dip girl.
I love chicken tenders and gravy. Like, Dairy Queen. I don't know why, but I... Or Sonic. Does Sonic still have their chicken strip dinners? Because I do love gravy. Love gravy, love chicken bread, anything.
I like my chicken dead and deep fried. You ever heard
and
of
smothered in gravy.
yeah, I love
gravy. With some Texas toast, buttery Texas toast.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so.
And the french fries in the gravy, anything goes in gravy. Hash browns, I used to, even when I don't have biscuits, hash browns
there's
and gravy.
There's a restaurant in Siloam,
mm-hmm.
Kathy's Corner.
I've heard of it.
They have a breakfast country Benedict. Favorite thing from there. It's literally, they open a biscuit. You get a piece of sausage on both sides of this biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's layered with hash browns, gravy, and cheese on top of it.
Oh.
And scrambled eggs. It is literally every piece of breakfast on this. And I'm like, this is breakfast right here.
That's what I like.
You can't eat the whole thing because it's massive. You could share it with someone or two or three, but it is so good. I love it. I think it's great.
I never order it, but like Village Inn kind of has the same. It's not the same thing because I know Kathy's Corner is like much better, but Village Inn has their little skillet bowls and it's like potatoes. And like you said, they have a chicken fried steak.
Skillet bowl.
It's like potatoes, the chicken fried steak, the gravy.
I love it. I think if I could pick and choose, I think we've had this conversation of different restaurants. I want different things from different restaurants, but I want them all together. So like, if you were to think of the restaurants we have here, where would your favorite chicken tender come from?
Dairy Queen, probably.
Dairy Queen?
Because I don't really get chicken tenders anywhere unless it's, like, Dairy Queen. Okay. Because I'm not a chicken tender. Like, you know, the people that order chicken tenders at any restaurant, every restaurant. I'm not that person, so I'm not, like, a good person to probably say it was the best chicken tenders, but I do love Dairy Queen chicken tenders.
I don't know if I've ever had Dairy Queen chicken tenders.
They're really good. They remind me a lot of Sonic's, but Sonic's aren't. I don't know. The gravy is good.
I really like Raising Cane's chicken tenders.
But I do like those.
They don't have ranch dressing. They have their cane sauce, which is fine for, like, it serves a purpose. But I want ranch dressing
to dip your chicken tenders.
Yeah.
Oh. Or gravy. I always use gravy, yeah.
Slim's has really good chicken and gravy. Slim's has gotten better. They used to have, their breading used to be a little, like, soggier. It wasn't as crispy, and now it's crispier, so I'm...
They got competition. All the chicken joints.
We got a lot of them here.
I know.
Next random thought was dating age gaps. I don't know what... I don't remember where this popped in my head at, but I was thinking of it, and I asked someone today, and they were like, 10 to 15 years, and I said, hold on. I'm 35. I'm not about to date a 20-year-old.
No.
Or if we go the opposite way, am I dating a 50-year-old man? I don't know.
Because, yeah, when you go either way, like, is that 10 to 15 years? Because, I mean, 10 to 15 years, that's 20 to 30 years total.
He said 10 to 15 either direction.
This is why men, scientifically proven, I don't know by who, but science, it has said that men's dating pools expands. Like, when they get older, they get more options to date.
Well, I talked to someone today. I asked a few people because I had this thought, and I was like, I need to ask a couple people. But I was like, girls are going to be a little different. So I was like, I want to ask some guys. I had a guy today tell me it was 2 years older and 11 years younger. And I was like, sir, you're going to date someone from 21 to 35? Like,
it's like the opposite for me, except I won't go younger.
Yeah.
At all. Well, I'll go 2 years older. I'll get like 2 years older. I need a man that's 25.
Yeah.
But I really would say 35. But my thing is that my parents are young.
Yes.
And so I tell my parents that they screwed me over on that because my parents are only 19 years older than me. And so if I get a man that's 10 years older than me, he's closer to my mom's age or my dad's age than my age. And I'm like, closer. Then he's only 33. Yeah. Like, yeah. You only have to be 33 to be, or 34 to be closer to my parents' age than my age. And so I'm just like, maybe that'll be something when I get over, but I'm just like,
maybe in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When I get older, like, it maybe won't seem like,
I was like, crazy. Do I want, like, what are they calling it? A zaddy?
I want a zaddy. That's the thing, is that I would date a 45-year-old man if he wasn't older than my mom.
Like, if you have your life together, like, I've gone through life. I got married at 18, divorced at 35. Like, I've gone through my life, and I am a grown, independent woman. I know things in my life now. I don't need a child.
Oh, my God. I'm 23. I've lived a whole life at 23 years old. I've had a house. I've sold a house. I've been married. I've gotten divorced. Like, I've had a whole fucking lifetime in 23 years. And there are some men out here that have still not had a job, are still, like, on all their parents' insurance, have never paid a bill, and have never had a girlfriend. And I'm just like, cool, you're 23. We're not on the same playing field.
No, but then, your age. Like, at my age, it's like, okay, the dating pool is guys that have been divorced, which is fine, you know. Mm-hmm. However, do I want to be a step parent?
It's people with baggage.
Yeah, like, do I want to be a step parent? I mean, obviously, I think I would be an incredible bonus mom, but do I want that? Like, do I want to deal with that? I mean, obviously, someone could be worth it, but I know I don't want kids, and so, like, Bailey is playing with her toys.
You hear a pig.
You might hear some squeaking. She's living her best life right now. But I don't know if that's something I want. And I guess it just depends on the person.
Yeah, it'll probably depend on the person for sure. But yeah, different ages for different times because in high school, I don't think that there should be age gaps. No.
I think under the age of like 18, no age gaps.
And I had a age gap relationship when I was in high school. And I'm not saying that it's like bad or anything, but now as an adult, I wouldn't let
my child. I would want them to do something differently.
Yeah, because it's just so much. It's a weird thing. Just first of all, I'll let my kid date in high school, but dating, don't date to marry in high school. I wish somebody would have told me that, but I think that I just came from a small town to where you marry your high school sweetheart. That's what you do. And my kids, I'm gonna be like, date, but you're breaking up senior year and you're going to college or you're going somewhere and you're gonna be single and you're gonna have time alone and be single, and then you can do the age gap stuff in your 20s.
I think that if I mean I don't want children, but if I were to have a child, I don't know if I could. Obviously, you do what you want to do. You're gonna I'm gonna love you regardless, because that's how I just feel about people. I'm gonna love you no matter what.
Yep.
But getting married as young as I did, granted, I feel like, yes, I got married because of love, but I also got married because religion said that you can't live together. So, like, there were other things in there. But I just feel like it's 2024. Live your life. You can live together and not be married. If you want to get married, great. More power to you. But make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, because it's
not for the faint of heart.
Getting out of that shit is not easy.
No, it's a struggle.
Sorry, what were you gonna say?
No, I think it's just like it's a process. I think like we both have our little grieving periods afterwards. Well,
and I just think when you're young, just be young with people that are also young, because like there is a huge difference between 20 and 23. Like, I swear, when I also was going through a lot at 22, but 21-year-old me, I look back and I thought 21-year-old me was mature. And now I'm like, oh my God, I was the most stupid, immature person. Like, how did I even have a brain? Like, how was I functioning?
Your brain's still not even fully developed. No,
and that's the thing, is my brain is not fully developed. And that's why I think this last year, I've been like, you know what? I'm a kid, because the thing is, it's 2 years ago, I thought I had my shit together, and now I'm looking back at 2 years ago, and I was stupid. So you know what? I know I'm going to look back from two years now, I'm going to look back at myself at 23 and be like, I was stupid. So I'm just embracing this stupid. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to live. I'm going to learn. Eventually, my brain will develop, and then hopefully things start making sense.
Yeah, which I guess brings us to our first like big topic of journaling.
Mm-hmm.
So Taylor is an avid journaler.
I love journaling.
I have never been a journaler. It was something that was suggested in therapy, though. So I'm trying to get to the point where I'm okay with it. This is going to be my pure opinion and on how I feel about it and how I want to. I want to be this journaling type of girl. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just feel so... It feels embarrassing to write down some of the thoughts that I have, because I'm like...
It's vulnerable.
You're a grown woman. Why do you feel so sad? Why are all these emotions there? And it's like, I need to get past that point of it.
It's like just looking you in the face.
Yes. Like it's all like, your... It's like I'm letting it out, so it exists in the real world. The second I put it on paper, someone else could see this thought. Someone else could see this. And that's terrifying to me. Because I got really good at hiding things. I got really good at hiding emotions and just not letting them out. And so it feels very vulnerable.
Yeah, it does feel very vulnerable. I don't know. I didn't really have the fear of anybody reading it. But I'm like, I have to write everything down. Like, if I don't write it down, I don't feel like the thought fully clicks in my head. And so maybe that's why, like, I like journaling so much, is because, like, I can have all these emotions and stuff, but, like, it's not, I don't know how to like describe it, but it's like once I write it down, I can be like, okay, that's how I actually feel. Like I can reread it back and I'm like, okay, that's how I feel. Because if not, I'll just spiral on it like in my head.
You'll play it out how you feel the situation went, but when you write it is how it actually went.
And then I'm like, okay, like this is like, this is it. This is how I feel. Like it's an actual tangible thing. And so I never really like, I didn't really have a fear of like anybody reading it, but that would be, I also think I have, I like lived alone and I started journaling. So I'm like, nobody's going to read this. I won't read your stuff, Danielle.
Well, I appreciate that. I did start, so I haven't, I did buy a journal, but I did start a little notes tab on my phone. It's called Text I'll Never Send. Mm-hmm. And it's been very good. It's been very good because there are still a lot of emotions that I go through every day. And there are different people through my life that I've moved on from, whether it's family or relationships or friends or whatever. And so I will sit there and I will have all these thoughts and I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could say this to this person. I wish I could tell this person this exciting thing that happened in my life, or I had this memory and it like started something and it made me spiral a little bit and I want to tell this person, like, I hate that this happened, but I don't want to tell that person because they don't deserve that anymore.
Yeah, like you don't, you can have, Bailey, will you please go? She's like all up in my grill right now. What was I saying? She distracted me.
Not letting them, like,
you don't have to tell them. Yeah, like you can have all those feelings and those feelings are valid for you because you had a addiction to somebody, basically. Like you have built your routine and your habits, whether it's like with friends, family, relationship, whatever, you have your routine and your habits and the things you tell them and things you like celebrate. And like, it's just natural instinct to want to go to those people. And so it's like a slap in the face when you have something happen, you want to go to those people and then you know you shouldn't, or you know you can't, or like whatever the case may be. So it's like those feelings are valid. And it feels like when you can't tell them, you just have to like keep it to yourself and like hold on to it. So like, I love notes app. Like that's where like I, whenever I'm going through stuff, like I'll.
And that's what I did. I put it in there and it's literally titled Text I'll Never Send. And it's just to different people, different things that have happened or different things I want to say. Like if I have something crazy happen or something really good and I'm like, you are the person I would share this with, but we're not at that point in our lives anymore. So it feels kind of healing to me to be able to be like, okay, well,
you're breaking that habit. Yeah, you're not holding on to it and just pushing it down and having this like resentment and anger and sadness that you can't tell anybody because you're still getting it out there. You're just starting a new pattern. You're just redirecting it. It's really good. That's why I love notes app. I love journaling. I have like probably 10 journaling apps on my iPad too. Like I don't just journal on my little journal.
Oh my goodness.
Anytime I have a thought that like just, yeah, anytime I have a thought that gives me like an uncomfortable feeling, I write about it.
Well,
whether it's anywhere, that's the thing, is that my thoughts are, maybe that's another reason that I, like my thoughts are everywhere. My thoughts are in notes apps. My thoughts are in my like little notes computer, like in my computer notes at work. Mine are like, I have a little notebook in my car. I have notes in there. I just, anywhere I can write down an uncomfortable feeling I'm having just to get it off my chest, I'll do it. So I don't have to worry about people reading my stuff because it's just all out there in the universe.
Yeah, and now have a podcast where we're saying it all.
Yeah, so. So
it's all out there for everybody.
But don't ask me to talk about my feelings because I'm not very good at talking about my feelings when I need to and it's productive.
I am very, very good about talking about my feelings.
That's my thing, is I love to yap and I can spew all my feelings, but bless you, Bailey. I don't have anybody that I'm vulnerable with yet right now though that like knows all my
deep dark secrets.
Yeah.
I get that.
And so I'll yap about my different feelings to everybody, but never enough for people to put together the puzzle pieces of what's happening in my brain.
I did Google some different things to journal about to kind of help me with my like journey into it.
Oh.
And so I'll share those. The first one was purpose, like explain the benefit of journaling and why you're doing it. And then your expectations, like what process do you want to go through with this? There's no wrong or right way to do it. Mm-hmm. Setting up your journaling environment.
That's my favorite thing. Lighting a candle. I do it in bed every night when I journal.
It says choose a quiet, comfortable place that you won't be disturbed.
Mm-hmm. It's cozy. I have highlighters too in my journal where I'll like, I like to brain dump just every thought I'm at. Usually I start, or actually, well, I'll let you finish your journaling thing and then I'll tell you how I journal.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure some of yours are on here.
Okay.
Cool. It says get the material, select your journal, decide on a time that you're going to journal. And then it says start with a simple prompt. You can do a gratitude list, emotional check-in, current challenges, any support systems that you have, positive affirmations, goals for healing, and then a stream of consciousness. Allow yourself to write freely for like 5 to 15 minutes without worrying about grammar or structure. Just like whatever your mind is on, just flow it on the page.
Yeah.
And then you can identify patterns after writing. You can read your entries and you can identify any like reoccurring themes or feelings that you're having. Work on forgiving yourself and self-love.
Yes.
And then reflection. Take a few moments to reflect on what you've read. How do you feel about journaling? And then write one thing down that you're going to do tomorrow to continue your healing process. And then it says end your session with a positive note, such as an affirmation or a word of encouragement. And then commit to doing it continually.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think that's the thing, too, is that if you, when you do it continuously, you get, like, a little pattern going to where it's a routine. Mm-hmm. Because when I started journaling, I never liked writing. I never liked journaling, really. But, and I never knew what to journal about because I knew I had so much happening throughout the day. But I was like, I don't know, like, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, it just feels overwhelming because you're like, I just was awake for, you know, like 18 hours. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I was just dealing with all these emotions all day. I don't want to sit here for 15 minutes and just process those emotions again. But I usually start out my journaling like with current happenings and just like current events. Like when the former president got shot, I was literally like, Trump got shot today. Like that was the first sentence in my journal. And it's just because, like, it just what starts it. I'm like, Trump got shot today. This is what's happening right now. Trump's not the
current president right now, though.
No, the former. Did I say current? I'm the former. Oh, thank God.
Anyway, one term only.
Yeah. But I, like, start with the current, just things that are happening in life. And then I kind of go into that, like, stream of consciousness where I just write down every thought I have. And then I just let it out. I'd be writing LOL in my journal.
You're like, I just got to put whatever I got to put in here, and it's fine.
Yeah, and how, like, you were saying about the finding the patterns, I also, whenever I journal, I have my highlighters with me. I have these cute little pastel highlighters. And I just highlight different things, like, if I'm setting a goal, like, in my journal, because it'll just be, like, a stream of consciousness, I'll go through with a highlighter, and if I, like, set a goal in my little prompt at some point, I'll just highlight that goal, or I'll do, like, affirmations, and, like, just whenever I feel like I need it. It's just a little stream of consciousness of what I feel like I need at that moment. But I probably only journal, like, maybe 10 minutes a day, and it is like a very therapeutic time. I'm like off my phone, and
I feel like I need to start doing that. The last time, so I journaled once a couple weeks ago when I first got the little journal that I got, and I journaled while I was in the bathtub, and let me tell you, it was really awkward because I was like, I'm journaling, but like the bathtub I feel like is my emotional safe place.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a Cancer. So the water is like just calming for me. So I am really good about crying in the bath or crying in the shower, whichever body of water I'm in is where I'm going to cry. I mean, I still cry on the couch too. Yes, the water is my home. But I wrote so much that I was like, what is this? But then I haven't touched it since, and I don't know if it was because I'm afraid that the emotions were a lot.
Yeah. No, and that's okay. Is sometimes I journal and I brain dump and I don't read it back. I don't look at it. I don't highlight anything. And then other days when I feel like it's been a productive journaling and I'm like, okay, I made some points in there that I want to go back, reread, highlight them, just point them out, just to like, I don't even do anything with them. I just like,
you let them resonate.
The attention. Yeah. But sometimes I journal, I let my heart out, and then sometimes I'm literally, probably 2 or 3 days ago I journaled and I literally just put fuck this. Like, that's how I felt that day.
And it's like, I feel like that's the part that's so hard for me, because it's like, okay, is this beneficial? And I guess maybe it's because I haven't done it enough to like reach that point where it's like, I literally just spent 30 minutes dumping my entire soul into this page.
Yeah.
And then I cried. And I'm like, okay, but crying is therapeutic. Getting this out can be therapeutic. So I guess it's just, I need to set that continual note in my brain that says, no, this is a good thing. Getting this emotion out is good.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be super deep every time. Mm-mm. Like, that's the thing, is that sometimes I can have a bad day and still journal and not want to journal about my bad day. And so it's like, you don't have to, sometimes you just do what you have the energy for. Sometimes it can literally just be fuck this. And then other days it can be these are my goals and my ambitions. And it's crazy because sometimes I'm reading my journal and like one day I'm like, I'm finding myself and I'm so happy. And then the next day I'm like, this is a joke. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. I'm so depressed. And it's just a one day difference. And sometimes it's a little jarring sometimes to see that, when it's like your moods, they really do change day to day though.
Yeah.
Because it's.
But you change as a person day to day.
Yeah.
And I feel like you change so much throughout the day as well. It's not even like a continual thing. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, you know, it's a great day. And then other times, like, I was talking to someone at work today and I had walked into the bathroom and she walked in and she was crying. Aww. And I was like, I'm gonna let her have her moment. And then when she's done, I'll walk over to her desk and like check on her. So I walked over to her afterwards and she was like, yeah, I'm much better now. She was like, it's just different things that hit me during the day. And I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. There are random things that happen. And you're like, it's because we're a whole ass person.
We are experiencing so much in life. I know the other day I cried for like 2 hours. It just hit me. What, 4 p.m. hit. I was having a fine day. Nothing was going on. Nothing was happening. Sobbed for like 2 hours. Was just sad for like 2 hours straight. And literally nothing happened. But like, I have so much going on in life that it's like, a person has a billion things going on in life. You cannot, there is nobody that's going to be emotionally and mentally clear enough to be able to handle every single situation that's going on with in their life, and not just something come bubble up sometimes without you expecting it or knowing it. Like, sometimes it just happens.
And I think some people are maybe a little better at masking those feelings. Yeah. I feel everything.
That's my thing, is that I do not push my emotions down. I don't necessarily share all my emotions, but if I want to cry,
I'm going to cry
because I don't like holding on to things. Like, no. I mean, that's why I journal so much, is because it makes me sick to my stomach almost to like hold on.
Yeah.
To those uncomfortable feelings.
And I will cry. I mean, I walked in the door the other day and you're like, are you crying? And I was like, yes, I'm crying. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It's just what happens. Oh, I was going to say, with the patterns, like recognizing the patterns in journaling too, that also, because, so I have bipolar disorder, and so I have, you know, manic and depressive episodes, and I never know. Like, I've been medicated for several years, so like, I don't really have any, like, major episodes anymore. But, like, I can't imagine how I had journaled whenever I was having episodes to kind of track them, because you don't know. Because now, sometimes, when I'm journaling, I'm, like, I'm feeling my emotions. And it just makes you on the same page as your emotions to track those kind of, like, maybe I should start focusing on this area of my life. And that's when I started noticing that I PMS once a month for 3 or 4 pages of my journal for like a week out of the month. I just talk about this rage that's in my soul, and it's my PMS. And I just know when I'm PMSing because when I journal, I get angry. And today I thought I was PMSing. I came home and I was like, I have a rage in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my journal was going to get it, but I'm not even PMSing. My app says I don't. I have a few more days, so maybe I'm just having a bad day. My journal will still get it.
It's Monday. Yeah, I feel like that got really deep.
Yeah, we love the journal.
I need to start. Do you want to do our high low? We haven't done that in a little bit.
Yes. So you go first.
So my high low, let's see. It's been a week. I feel like I had a lot of emotions. I did get a court date to finalize my divorce. So I feel like that's a high and a low at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for the future.
Good.
So I do feel good about that. I am officially switching to a new team at work next week.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about that. I feel like it could be really good for my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited
just
about that.
Change and like day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of my people, but I'll be right next to everybody, so I'm not moving that far. Yeah. And I still see them outside of work, so I'm not worried about it. But yeah, I feel like my high low is kind of equal for both. It's a little bittersweet on both sides of it. Yeah. So
that's mine. My high low is the same thing. Like, my low is I broke my phone. My high is I broke my phone. But the low is I broke my phone. And the high is that I got a new phone because I broke my phone.
And you've been wanting a new phone.
And I've been wanting a new phone. And Daniela and I are at lunch. And I'm trying to take a picture of my little first watch breakfast. I'm like, my camera quality sucks. My phone doesn't stay charged. I had an iPhone 11. Like, I'd had the same phone for like 5 years. And I was like, I really want a new phone before we go to Salem. What happens at night? I go to the fair. I get on a roller coaster. My phone was in my back pocket. And my phone shattered to pieces. Screen wouldn't turn on. I'd go like 12 hours without a phone. It was therapeutic, I guess. It's a positive way to spin that. But
it was a challenge, but we did it.
Yeah. I was texting off an iPad, like an iPad kid, for about 12 hours. But I got a new phone. And yeah, I have a new phone. It's going to have great pictures. Then when we go to Salem, I'm going to have great pictures. And the universe heard me talking at lunch and was like, I'm going to make this right for you and you're going to get a new phone.
They're like, sis, this is happening today. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. So when the low hit and my phone broke, I was like, what are the effing odds? And also, who breaks their phone on a roller coaster? I love roller coasters. I'm a roller coaster junkie. And it's like the stupidest thing to bring your phone on a ride. But it was a chaotic moment. I had a little fanny pack. All my family was putting their phones in my fanny pack. And so then I'm like getting on the ride. And I'm like, where can I put my fanny pack? And the guy's like, oh, you have to wear it. And I was like, okay, I have to wear a fanny pack on this ride. Cool. It's a circle one where you literally stop upside down. And when we were stopping upside down, I made sure my fanny pack was zipped since I was so confused. I was wearing a fanny pack on this ride. And we're upside down. And I feel my back pocket move. And then I feel my phone just slip right down my back. And we're upside down. And I hear, whose phone was that? And I just was sad. I didn't even get to enjoy the ride because I knew it was my phone. And I just sat there so angry. And I get off the ride. And everyone's like, smiles. And I was like, I lost my phone. Just get me home. I just want to go home.
I just want to go home.
I just want to go home.
Didn't want to be here anyways.
I know. I'm like, I already had anxiety. I already was like overwhelmed. And cutting lines. We were cutting lines. And that was
stressful.
That was stressful. That was the karma. It was the karma for my family deciding to cut this line. I paid for it with my phone. But I got a new phone. So it was a high and a low. And my water buffalo is don't cut lines or karma will
kick your ass.
Yeah. And take your phone with it.
Oh, so CoStar today was on point for this episode. Mine is, don't get stuck on someone who won't call you back. Are you circumventing discomfort? Today, you're pushing an old wound just for a poignant rush. It isn't easy to understand your own feelings when you've been ignoring them for so long. Why can't you give yourself a break? Oh. Write out a non-judgmental description of an event that prompted an emotion. Do morning mist, strong coffee, journal. Don't introspect, rough surfaces, or guilt trips.
Perfect. CoStar was on point today.
CoStar, she knows what's up.
Yeah. Mine is, you can't live full time inside your head. And I absolutely can. And that's why I journal so much, is because my thoughts are too much for my head.
Mm-hmm.
Do torrent. Is that a word? I don't know what that means.
Torrent?
T-O-R-R-E-N-T.
Torrent?
I don't know what that means, but I should do it. Do notepad and outlines. Don't browsing assumptions and speakerphone. And I'm a speakerphone girly, so nobody call me today.
Okay. Torrent, is it the, like, the fast, like, stream of water? Like a torrent?
Like a, wait, what?
Fast? It's a torrent.
Oh, I thought current.
Current is a thing, but torrent is also a fast stream of water. And they have
the same, almost the same meaning?
I mean, or a violent fluid flush. I don't know.
No, what am I going to be torrenting today? Torrenting.
Okay, so CoStar with me and you. Okay, so CoStar, we thought maybe it had my gender wrong on there. So,
well, it called you a he the other day.
Yes, and I am not. I am not a he. I am a she. She, her. Always have been for me. So I reset the whole app, and I was like, maybe it asked for a gender. And then I re-downloaded it, deleted my account, and reset it, and it never asked me for a gender. But even within us resetting all of this, it still thinks we're dating. Because today, you and me, it says, you and Taylor are both tuned into your sensual sides. Taylor is open to the possibility of whatever is happening between you right now.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Taylor, I love you, but not that
There's
way.
There's not a chance.
No.
Darn.
You know, I just feel like we are.
It probably is like you guys are always together.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We live together. We live together. We work together. I don't know what to tell you. We're just together. Okay.
Like, CoStar, please.
Maybe I need to add some boys. Because are there any men that have CoStar? Because I'm very curious. Because none of my contacts or Facebook friends are male that have it. So I'm very curious if there are some men out there that have CoStar. Oh, that's a lie. Well, Cameron has it, but
I was going to say my ex has it, so it's maybe a red flag. He loved to use astrology against me.
Oh, I'm kidding. God. You don't use astrology against people. That's
you just,
bad karma.
No, I don't know how I feel about a man using CoStar, because I just don't trust a man that does astrology, because I'm like, I have experience.
You're like, but
I'm like, you don't, it's, I don't know, I don't trust it. I feel like if a man's learning astrology, it's because they want to know how to manipulate me. I don't know. I have trust issues.
Don't we all okay.
But I do have a friend. I have a male friend that has a CoStar, but he's gay.
Cameron has it. I just pulled that back up. Cameron has it, but Cameron's gay as well. So any straight?
It's for the girls and gays. Yes. CoStar is for the girls and the gays. Everyone else?
The girls, the gays, and theys. If there are any cis straight men, like, I would love to know what your thoughts are on CoStar. And
why are you, into astrology? And is it for a girl?
Or are you just generally interested?
Yeah, like, if you're generally interested, like, I think that's cool. But, like, I don't know. I
need some more information.
Yeah, if you're doing it just for a girl.
Yeah, so if any of the guys out there have it, or any of you girls have some guys in your life that have it, please let us know. Also, I'm going to share our username so you guys can add us as well.
Yes.
So we can kind of get to know you guys that way. I'm open to adding people, so I will share both of our usernames so you guys can add us.
Yeah, CoStar is really fun.
All right. Well, until next week, guys. Thank you.
Bye.